Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what up, everybody? It's Lee from Lee and Keys Real Talk Radio. Tonight, we got a good one for you. As me and my co-host Keys are going to make 5 bold predictions for 2022 as it pertains to combat sports in the UFC. Let me start off the show by wishing everybody a happy new year. You know, put 2021 in the past, put the gas on the gas pedal, put the foot on the gas pedal as we move into 2022. But let me introduce my co-host. What's going on, Keys? Yeah, what up, Keys? Hold on.
Oh, you slacking, bro. You slacking.
What up, bro?
I seen you slacking, man. I ain't going to get into detail about you slacking. Anyways, Happy New Year. I hope everybody had a good New Year. I know I did. Let's get into it, dog. We got a good, pretty much, themed show tonight. You know, last week we pretty much wrapped up the 2021 UFC year with our, you know, best of and, you know, finish of the year and all, you know, whatever we did. And now we're going to go into 2022 and, you know, make some hot takes. We're going to throw out some hot takes and so some bold predictions. Get ready to disagree. I'm ready for it. I got a good list over here, man.
Yeah, man. Actually, when you hit me with this earlier, I was like, wow, I ain't really thought about it. And then I didn't even go look at Ray Ramondes. I didn't even look at his. I just sat down and thought about what I would like to see in 2022. And I came up with a good list, so let's jump into it, man. So what's your first bold prediction of 2022?
So my first thing is this. And this one I had to tweak just as recently as like 5 minutes ago. I made a little bit of edits on this. But it's John Jones loses at heavyweight. I think he'll lose to Cyril Gane. I think, and my overall prediction is not really about John Jones. It's really, that was like the first idea I had, but then I kind of formulated that thought. It's more about Cyril Gane. I think Cyril Gane will be Fighter of the Year in 2022. He'll have wins over Francis Ngannou when that fight coming up. I believe he wins that fight. I believe he'll fight John Jones to win that fight. And I believe he may even fight Derek Lewis again. Or if Derek Lewis steps in, whatever, Derek Lewis, you know, they might fight again down the line. He'll beat Derek Lewis again. So with those 3 wins right there, I think, you know, he could definitely be Fighter of the Year 2022.
Okay, Cyril Gane as the Fighter of the Year 2022. So that means he's going to beat Francis Ngannou. And then you say he's going to also beat John Jones. All right. That's pretty bold. But you have been a Cyril Gane fan for a long time. So we can't say that you jumping on a bandwagon or saying something new, because you have been saying that this guy was the next best thing at heavyweight besides Stipe for about maybe, what, a year and a half, 2 years?
Yeah, I've been saying it for pretty much 3 years at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, it was 22. I mean, he first got on my radar in 2019. I want to say like early 2019, probably around this time, 2019, is when I first started reading about him. I want to say he was like 3-0 as a pro at that time. I want 3-0 as a pro, which is crazy because you look at it now, he's like 11-0 or what, 12-0, and he's an interim heavyweight champion about to fight for the undisputed title. So, yeah, no, but I have been, though. I'm not, you know what I mean? I think it's going to be a big year for the boy. I mean, that's three big wins if you're a heavyweight. You know, that's pretty much the fourth, you know, names at heavyweight right now. And then Curtis Blaydes is probably, you know, number 5 in my opinion. And maybe that fight happens too, but we know Curtis Blaydes, you know, has a tough time when it comes to the big fights, you know, to get himself, you know what I mean? But, yeah, I think Cyril Gane, Fighter of the Year 2022, and he'll have wins over each of those 3 guys.
Okay, I like it. I'm going to go at another guy that me and you been talking about, man. My bold prediction for 2022 is Murad Dvashvili. Divilishvili. Yeah, Divilishvili will be the bantamweight champion, man. Bantamweight is probably one of the most competitive divisions in the UFC, but I think we'll have a new champion crowned this year, and that will be Merab. He's a great wrestler with a good stand-up game to go with the wrestling. He's currently ranked number 6 on the 7-fight win streak. He could be in line to fight the winner of the Petr Yan and TJ Dillashaw, barring that Yan can ever get a rematch of Aljamain Sterling whenever that happens. But I think Merab has the game to be the champ. But it's two things he has to do. He has to keep winning, and he has to be patient. The reason I'm preaching patience with Merab is because right now the division is kind of in a standstill because of Aljo's injury. And I think if he goes ahead and he fights a top 5 guy and he wins that fight, just sit back and relax, man. Sit back and relax. Wait on your time. Don't try to take another fight against another top 5 guy, which is probably especially if he loses, he's going to lose his chance at a belt. But I like Merab Divilishvili being a bantamweight champion at some time this year.
Yeah, you know, me personally, I wouldn't be mad at that. You know, that's another guy that I've known who he was for a minute. I wouldn't say I've been singing his praises, as, you know, at least not as long as I have to Cyril Gane, but, you know, I did know who he was, and I like the way he looked in the octagon, and I feel like he's only getting better and proving himself more. So I really don't think – I mean, I'd say to the general public and to the most UFC fans, that is a big hot take because people sleep on him. But I'd say to the hardcore fans, you know that is not unrealistic. If you are an avid watcher, I would say you know in the back of your mind that is a possibility. He definitely has the skills to beat all of these guys. So, yeah, I like that pick a lot.
All right, man, what's your second one?
So, actually, I have my hot take, which is in regards to the bantamweight division. You want me to give my hot take regarding the bantamweight division, or should I save it for later and talk about the women's division?
Totally up to you, bro. All
right, cool. So I'll save my bantam prediction for later. I don't want to be too obvious with that. So let's talk about the women a little bit. This is how we're going. So I saw that Mark Raimondi in his, you know, you said earlier that you didn't get to see Mark Raimondi's top 5. Shout out to Mark Raimondi, by the way. That you know, he's a legend. And didn't he used to be an announcer on WWE? Or is he an announcer on WWE at some point?
Nah, that's all Jimmy Smith.
Man, I could have sworn he did, because I know he's an ESPN guy, and I could have sworn he's done work with WWE before too. Man, I don't know. I could have sworn I've seen him on both promotions, but either way, shout out to him, man. I always liked that guy, and that idea was a very creative idea. I mean, maybe it wasn't even him that came up with that, but regardless, that was dope. So I figured we try it here. In his prediction, he actually has one of his top 5 hot takes. You know, you said you didn't see it, and you probably like this one. He did that Valentina will become a double champ in 2022. So I decided I'd go the opposite way of, I think, what he was trying to say. I don't know exactly who he figured that she would fight to become a double champ, but I think that it'll go a different way. It could go a different way. Actually, based on something you were saying the last show, I think Rose will become a double champ. I think Rose will become a double champ in 2022. She fights at 115, so I think she'll do the Carla Esparza fight. I think she'll win that fight, right? She'll get that win back. She'll get that, you know, loss back. And I think the talks will start, you know, coming up about her moving up to 125. After that fight, and, you know, depending on how she responds to that, I think, you know, whether she wants to take another fight at strawweight and keep going you know, I think I could see her wanting to take like one more fight at strawweight, and before doing that, and then, you know, taking that chance and moving up to 125 to challenge Valentina for the 125 belt. And I think she beats Valentina and a complete shocker to become a double champion.
Man. Now, people, me and Keys did not talk before we did this show. All we did was he sent me a text message and said, bro, I think we should do this tonight for the show. And I was like, okay. I didn't look at Mark Raimondi's piece. And my number two thing on my list for bold predictions of 2022, Rose Namajunas shocks the world. I got Rose Namajunas defends her title against Carla Esparza, and then she goes on and defeats Marina Rodriguez. The fans are clamoring for Wiley Zhang fight, but the UFC has bigger ideas and decides to book the most dominant and current female UFC champions. Valentina Shevchenko continues to dominate and make her next title defenses look easy as she beats Talia Santos and possibly Vivian Araujo. But I put that I would rather see Joanna move up to 125 and fight Valentina, but we'll see whether or not that happens. And then I says the UFC books Thug Rose versus Bullet Shevchenko, which sets up one of the most anticipated champ versus champ fights in the women's division since Nunes versus Cyborg. Both women will be very game, very well-rounded, but I will go with the upset in a very contested fight. Me and Keys both have Rose Namajunas beating Valentina Shevchenko in 2022. And we did not talk. We did not compare notes. Man, that's a shocker.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because, and to add to that, it's not only that we both have that, and for the record, people, we seriously did not speak about our picks. I mean, I told them the idea, and that's exactly how it was. I told him the idea, and he was like, that sounds cool. I was like, all right, bet, we'll make our list. We didn't speak after that up until, you know, we were jumping on the show, and we didn't even talk about our picks until we just both aired them live. So this is the first time we're discussing our picks. And, yeah, it's just interesting. Not only did we both pick Rose to become a double champ, but we both had that detail about Rose, you know, possibly taking one more, you know, having one more title defense after beating Carla Esparza, you know, coming up this year. It's funny how we both had that detail too. That's another thing that I noticed. We just happened to think about that the same way. I didn't specify who it would be. You were specific on Marina, which that could very well be. She could be in that spot, but it's just interesting how we both had that, you know, similar mindset about it. So yeah, that's dope.
Yeah, man. All right. What you got for number three?
All right. So number three. All right. So we talked about John Jones losing at heavyweight, and I specified I think he'll lose. I think Cyril Gane will win. And then he'll lose to fight Gane. Gane will beat Jones and Derek Lewis back-to-back. And then you'll have Rose double champ. Okay, so this is my next one. Ready? Twitter's not going to like this one, man. Twitter is not going to like this one. When I wrote this, I knew it. I was like, this is probably the hottest hot take, you know, of 2022 because y'all are riding this dude so hard right now. And I gotta shut it down. I gotta just be honest with y'all. Khamzat Chimaev gets humbled at 170. I think he gets humbled at 170. We see him. I didn't really want to get into specifics about who it would be against. My initial thought was Usman beats him down. He fights for the belt, and Usman beats him down because I could see them rushing this dude to the title. I know Dana White has, you know, been vocal about, you know, oh, we're not going to rush him to the title, but, you know, we know how he operates, man. We know we've seen this before, so I really wouldn't doubt it. You know, they give him maybe one, maybe two more fights before they may have him fight for the title. But I just think overall, I'm not sure if it'll be, you know, Bilal Muhammad or Gilbert Burns, Covington or Usman. But I think, you know, one of these top 10 guys is going to humble Chimaev. That's my pick. People are going to be very disappointed with the way he loses in 2022. That's my hot take.
Man, I don't know. Maybe we was on the same wavelength today when we was thinking of these, because my fourth one was Islam Makhachev and Khamzat Chimaev fell in title shots. I put Islam and Khamzat of being hyped as uncrowned champions, but I see them failing at their first chances at gold. Islam is known for his superior grappling and grade A ground game, but in a matchup against current lightweight champion Charles Oliveira, I see his ground game being neutralized by Oliveira's top-notch BJJ skills. With his number one weapon being taken away, I see Charles Oliveira dominating him in a standout fight. As far as Khamzat, currently ranked number 11 at welterweight, he has some work to do to get a title shot, but with the right booking, he could get a shot by the year's end. If, much like Islam, he is known for his ground game and grappling, but if Usman is still the champion, I see him doing the same thing to Chimaev that Oliveira would do to Islam. Defending takedowns make the fight a standout affair, when Chimaev will not fare well and lose in a stand-up battle where he will need to go back to the drawing board and work on his stand-up game. I can't believe that me and you actually basically had the same thing as far as our hot takes. So our hot takes are I don't know, man. And people, once again, we try not to agree for the sake of this show because, you know, we all agree that it doesn't make for a good show. We didn't talk, and we both thinking the same thing. So, yeah, man, I agree with you, man. I think I'm going to put Islam in the same boat as just Chimaev. I think they both fell in title shots against the current champions. But that all could change depending on who the champion could be. But if everything shakes out the way it is right now, I see Islam losing to Oliveira, and I see Chimaev losing badly to Usman.
Okay. And you said you got Islam losing badly to Oliveira?
Yep.
All right, cool. So that would kind of assume that you got Islam beating Benil Dariush then?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going with Dariush. Oh, I think I'm going to go with Dariush in that fight, but I'm not sure. That one's – well, we'll see when it gets closer. I don't even know when that fight is, so we'll talk about it when it comes. But, yeah, so let's jump into the next one. I mean, so I'm gonna go into my bantamweight pick now. I'm going to go back to the bantamweights. I said I'd get back to it later, so we're going to rock with that. So I think in 2022, I think TJ Dillashaw becomes the bantamweight champion again. And this one, I think what will probably happen is I think Sterling will technically defend his belt, even though it's a flimsy title defense, kind of a weird fight because the way he won the bout was kind of suspect. But I think he'll lose to Jan coming up. You know, they actually just announced that fight for the March card. They also just announced Volkanovski versus Max Holloway 3, and both of those fights are on the same card. So that's really two bangers right there. That's really dope. They did that. I'm pretty sure that those two fights, the last time they both fought, were on the same card as well, if I'm not mistaken. But either way, I think Jan will win the fight with Sterling, and I think Cruz will get a fight with Sanhagen. I think Cruz beats Sanhagen. And then you'll have TJ come back. I think they'll either offer TJ to fight Jan because he already beat Sanhagen, and Sanhagen was right there, ready to fill in that for the other title fight they did. So I think you'll have Cruz pretty much right there. By like summertime, you'll have Cruz right there. TJ will be right there, and Jan will be right there. I think I want to say they'll just have TJ. Maybe he takes one more fight. I'm not sure. I'm really not sure how it'll go. Maybe he'll take one more fight. But either way, TJ beats Jan, and then you'll have TJ. And this is probably the hottest part of the hot take. People are really going to look at me sideways, but I think this is really true. I think we'll see TJ versus Dominic Cruz 2 in 2022. By the year's end, or if not early 2023, I think that fight will be starting to form. It'll be starting, you know, the chips will starting to be, they'll start to be falling in line for that fight to happen. And that will be a complete shocker because I don't think anyone expects to see that fight. But I think a lot of people are also, not only are they kind of hating on, you know, a lot of people still hate on TJ because of, you know, the EPO, you know, situation. So they don't really want to like him, but they also don't want to admit that, you know, he came back after 2 years on the couch and looked pretty good versus Sanhagen, who had been active the whole time, you know, looking incredible. And I just like wonder if TJ had been fighting that whole time, how that fight might have looked different. That's the question that I have about it. And I think the similar thing with Cruz. I think people are kind of putting Cruz on the back burner at 135 because they feel, you know, first of all, everybody wants to talk about, you know, 5 years ago when he lost to Cody, and you guys need to, well, that was actually 6 years ago at this point, because we're in 2022, and they just want to put him on the back burner because, you know, they want to talk about that. And then how he lost to Cejudo. He came back from like a four-year layoff to fight Cejudo, which I think was a bad decision on his part anyways, to come back into that fight when Cejudo was like on fire at that time. I don't think that was a good decision on Cruz's part. But people want to talk about like his losses and fights like that and kind of put him on the back burner, but not paying attention to the fact that he's looked excellent in his last two fights. And he is back in that conversation again. He is back in that title conversation at this point in time. He's right there. So, yeah, I think TJ will become champ, and TJ Cruz 2 will be start, or I don't know if it'll be 2 or 3. I think that's 2. Yeah, 2 would be formulating by end of the year, if not early 23.
Man, wow. We both got battle weight predictions too. We both got basically the same thing, but we got, you can replace, I got Marab and you got TJ, but I'm not mad about TJ. I think TJ, after his display against Sanhagen, I think he's definitely in line for a title shot. I don't think he's going to fight between now and the next time he get in there for the bantamweight championship. Plus, he injured his knee in that fight, so I think he's rehabbing now. So, and plus, with this fight being in March, that probably pushes him out probably to summer. So I see him coming back in the summer to take on the winner, Aljamain Sterling versus Petr Yan. But I think instead of Dominique Cruz, I think it's going to be Marab. So we shall see, man. We shall see how it shakes out. My next one, it's probably one that Keys is going to hate to hear, but I think it happens, and I think it happens for one good reason and all bad reasons. I think Conor McGregor fights Jake Paul this year. I think Conor returns to the octagon after his devastating injury, and, you know, he returns to the octagon, but people have to keep in mind that Conor only has one win since 2016 in Octagon. Also, right now, he only has two fights left on his current UFC deal. Right now, if you follow him or you follow anything about UFC or MMA, he's demanding a title shot on social media. But we all know he has no claim to a title shot. When he returns, I think he probably might be booked against Nate Diaz for the trilogy fight, or maybe even Michael Chandler. I don't think he gets in there with Tony Ferguson. I don't think he gets in there with Dustin Poirier. I think it's either going to be Nate or Michael Chandler. Win or lose, the UFC would still say he's not a title contender, and then he goes immediately to calling out Jake Paul while also defaming the UFC or talking bad about the UFC. Jake Paul answers the call and Showtime books McGregor versus Jake Paul. And I think on that same card, he's going to get even madder when I say this. In a co-main event, you get Anderson Silva versus Logan Paul, which would make this the biggest card in celebrity combat history. Especially since Jake Paul and T. Woods' second fight were reported to be a box office flop, as they had fewer than 65,000 pay-per-view buys. If they could book this card with Conor and Jake and Anderson and Logan, I think their pay-per-view buys is going to be really high, because everybody know Conor McGregor is a draw. And I think if you put both Paul brothers on the same card, you know, you people like them guys, man. So it can draw. And I think one good thing that will happen out of this is I think Paul and Conor will both take every chance to lash out about the UFC, about fighter pay. But they'll also be hyping up their fight at the same time. But I think this year we get Conor McGregor versus Jake Paul, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see what happens. I don't know. That one, I mean, Jake Paul, I'll just say this. I heard, you know, his last one with Woodley just did 65,000 pay-per-view buys. So that's, like, I'm pretty sure the biggest flop that I've heard of in my time watching combat sports. That is the biggest flop that I have heard of. I have never seen, like, numbers that low. I have not witnessed that. Like, I want to say the lowest numbers I've ever heard of was – I mean, you had Nunes and Shevchenko too. I want to say did like 150,000, and then after that, the closest to that I had ever heard, I want to say, was that Tito Ortiz, that flimsy, you know, bullshit Tito Ortiz and Chuck Liddell fight that what's his name put on like a year ago or two. What's that washed up boxing dude's name?
Oh, Mike, De La Hoya.
Oscar De La Hoya, man. Oscar De La Hoya put on that, you know, disgrace of a fight, you know, and Chuck Liddell should have never been in there, to be honest, and I think we all know that. But anyways, that, you know, people like that got to do stuff like that, because they're not, you know, they got nothing going for them otherwise, so he's got to put on shows like that because he's desperate. And he tried to get in, and if you could see, you know, he tried to get into the MMA game, and he failed. You know what I mean? Look at what the pay was for the fighters on that card. Look at the numbers it did. That's what you get. You know what I mean? That's what you get for being a piece of shit, to be honest. So it is what it is. And that's aside from my whole point. What I was saying was that did 100K, I want to say. Yeah, that was the biggest flop until Jake Paul and Woodley too just did, I heard, 65K. So that's the biggest pay-per-view flop I've ever seen. And I don't know, man. Jake Paul, I don't know. I like where his head is at with, you know, the whole, you know, better pay and benefits for the UFC fighters. I like what he was saying. And definitely I think you should take a look at what he put out, you know, the terms he put out there, because that was – you know, he actually, I liked a lot of what he put down, whether he wrote it or his manager. I don't care who wrote it. Like, if you watch the video, Dana White, you know, that made me crack up laughing the other night. Dana White put out a video response to Jake Paul and, you know, calling his manager a warlock and saying him and the warlock should work on, you know, doing better promotions or something like that, because, you know, their pay-per-views are a flop, and he's going to call out, like, the biggest names in the UFC for fights to even hope to get, like, good pay-per-view draws. So, yeah, I don't know if he'll get a McGregor fight. That seems – I don't know. I think McGregor wouldn't – I don't know if McGregor would – even the where he is now, I don't know if McGregor would really – Jake Paul would probably have to put up, like, a serious bag for McGregor to like, even look at him. I don't think he would stoop that low, honestly. McGregor, if he's going to go back over and box, I feel like McGregor is going to go for, like, you know, a high-profile boxer. You know, that's what I would see him doing. But, hey, I guess if Jake Paul has, you know, a serious enough bag, which I don't really think he has the money to get McGregor, but if he were to come up with it, you know, maybe it does happen. That one, I think, is probably the most iffy of your picks so far. To be honest.
The only reason I say that it happens is because I say McGregor does it out of spite, because the UFC won't give him a title shot. I think he does it out of spite to say, okay, fuck the UFC, let me go do this and make as much money as I can since I can't get a title shot. That's the only reason why I think he does it. But at the same time, I think with Showtime doing Jake Paul pay-per-views now, I think the bag can be secured. I think they can probably give him a nice purse. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But like I said, it's only a hot take because I think Conor and Jake, I think Conor does it for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that one. I feel like the fact that Oliveira, like, is calling McGregor out and, like, saying that, like, he's already come out and said that fight in front of the Gaethje fight, like, he would put Gaethje aside and fight McGregor first. I think the fact that the champ is, like, asking for that would make Dana White – I think it's a likely fight for McGregor at this point. Not that I agree that it makes sense or that he deserves it. I mean, he definitely doesn't deserve it, but I think the fact that Oliveira has shown interest in it and, you know, the stuff that he's come out and said, I think would make, you know, Dana White want to set that up for Oliveira. And I think that you know, you keep seeing these things about, like, you know, them going back to Brazil. You know, you had, you know, McGregor versus I forget the guy that he fought, you know, he fought someone in Brazil the first time, and then he went, I don't know where they fought, but he fought Aldo, that was the second one, and then they say Ireland versus Brazil 3. And then they had a picture. I don't know if it was the MacLife that posted that up or if it was ESPN, but then there's a picture of McGregor and Oliveira, and I'm like, and it's kind of like, you know, you're questioning it, but there's that theme that's, like, going around. And I think Dana White might look at that. If I don't know what Brazil is like with COVID and everything. I don't even know if that's doable, but if it was, if it were, I could see Dana White trying to cash in on, you know, a fight with those guys in Brazil. You know, I could see something like that, or just bringing it to Vegas if that's possible. Who knows where you can even go now with the COVID regulations? So I don't know, but I do think that fight is definitely possible in 2022.
Yeah, man. You know, it's, man. Whoo. Oh man, I really, man, in Brazil though. Man, do I give Conor a shot at beating Oliveira? No, because Oliveira isn't going to stand up and trade blows with him. Oliveira will probably get in there and try to exchange, and once Conor hit him with that left one time, he's going to take him down. And we all know that once Conor gets taken down, it's basically a wrap. So But I don't even think he deserves it, so I don't even want to see that fight. I'd rather see the guys that deserve it get in there with him, with Charles, that is. I'd rather see Charles fight Gaethje. And then after that, you know, maybe on the winner of the Islam Darius fight. And then after that, you go for a big money fight with Conor. But I just don't see it happening. And hopefully the UFC doesn't book it. I don't see what Conor deserves a title fight. So that's just me. What's your last bold prediction, man?
So I have an honorable mention bold prediction that I have as well. So I actually have two more bold predictions. My last one and that. Did you already get your last one?
Nah.
All right, so here we go. My last one is, I think, it is regarding Kevin Holland. You know, we've talked a lot about, like, title-related things so far. This is, you know, a guy that I'm not really talking about him, you know, becoming a champion or anything like that. I just think that Kevin Holland is, you know, I know he's been training with Khabib, and, you know, we saw, you know, how he struggled, I want to say, versus Derek Brunson. And some other recent fights with guys that had really good wrestling, and it's a big hole in his game. You know, Kevin Holland is, you know, he's very fun to watch. You know, he's very good on the feet, but, you know, once you take him down, that's his weak point. I think since he, you know, has been getting cornered by Khabib, because Khabib noticed that he was getting dominated on the mat. So I think now he's out there training with Khabib. He's, you know, taking time off. He's not fighting 100 fights in a year. I think Kevin Holland becomes a wrestler in 2022. I think he comes back with takedowns. I think he comes back with takedown defense. And I think he goes back on a winning streak in 2022. And I want to say, I don't know if he's at 170 or 185 now, but I think he becomes a wrestler, shows some big improvement in the wrestling department, goes back on a winning streak for 2022, and becomes top five in whatever division he's in. I don't know if he's at 170 or 185, but I think he will be top five in whichever division he is in by the end of the year.
Wow. Man. And you know what? If he does that, that would be somebody taking their craft very, very seriously. Because we have seen him get taken down and look like a turtle on his back. And he looked really, really bad. So for him to do that and probably turn probably his biggest weakness to probably one of his biggest strengths, That says something about him and the seriousness of how he sees his career going. Me and you have talked about it in the past. Our one-trick ponies don't make it in the UFC these days. You have to have multiple tools in your tool belt to be at least a champion in the UFC. So if he does that, man, hey, I'll have to ride with you. My last one, I'm going total opposite of your first one. You said John Jones loses at heavyweight. Mine is John Jones versus Stipe Miocic for the heavyweight title in 2022. I think John Jones fights the winner of Cyril Gane versus Francis Ngannou, which I think Cyril Gane will win because he's just freakishly athletic to be a heavyweight. And then the UFC books Jones versus Gane. In this fight, this fight will feature two outstanding athletes who happen to also be fighters. I think John win that fight and become the new heavyweight champion. Stipe fights Derrick Lewis and looks like his old self when he was the best heavyweight in the world. After he beats Derrick Lewis, he says UFC owes him a title shot, and the UFC books the best light heavyweight champion in history against the most dominant heavyweight champ in MMA history, and we get that fight sometime in 2022, probably fourth quarter. So I like Jones versus Stipe for the heavyweight title in the fourth quarter of 2022. So we did agree on some stuff. We did disagree on some stuff. So it's kind of wild. I mean, the ones we agreed on, I didn't, you know, once again, we didn't talk about this. We just came up with what we had. So, but, yeah, man, I got John Jones versus Stipe for the heavyweight title.
Yeah, I think that would actually be pretty epic, you know, even though, you know, we have, you know, we both think Gane will beat Francis coming up. And actually, that's another thing we'll talk about. Probably, we'll probably touch on that a little bit on next week's show. I mean, next week is Calvin Kattar fight week. He's fighting Giga Chikadze that everybody else is hyped about as well. So that fight's happening. You know, the UFC drought is ending. But also next week, I think we'll touch on that. We'll talk about, you know, this Francis Ngannou. Like, I think after this fight, I don't know if he's going to be a free agent, or is this the last fight in his contract, or what it is. But I know, like, I was reading something, and I think that he's saying that he doesn't plan to negotiate a new contract with the UFC. So I don't know if we'll see. I mean, the way it's looking, like, we might not see too much more of Francis Ngannou in the UFC, you know? I think they said, from what I read, you know, he
– Yeah, he said he's going to test free agency.
Yeah, so, you know, we'll see what happens with that, and, you know, we'll talk a bit more about that next week for sure. We'll touch on that. But, yeah, we have different sides of that fight. You know, we both think Francis will lose that fight. And then, you know, you have Jones beating Gane. I got Gane beating Jones. And then you got Stipe fighting Derek Lewis. I got Gane fighting Derek Lewis in a rematch after the Jones fight. And I do, but I do like Stipe coming back into the picture. I thought about that when I was writing up that, you know, that pick of mine. I thought about, you know, where or how Stipe back into the picture. And he's right there. He's still in the picture realistically. He just, you know, he doesn't talk as much. You don't see him in interviews and stuff. So, you know, it seems like, you know, when he loses, he kind of fades from relevancy kind of faster because he's not like the first guy, like, you know, doing an interview or, you know, on social media. So it kind of seems like he kind of falls off the map, but he's still right there, you know, with the top heavyweights. Realistically, I mean, Stipe, Jones isn't a heavyweight yet, so you can't really put him in there, but he is in there in terms of, you know, probably the best guys, because I feel like he'll be better than, you know, at least, you know, 85% of the heavyweights, like right off the bat, just with, you know, his skill set and the way he moves. But anyways, yeah, we'll talk about that more. One opposite sides of that fight, but, you know, we'll see how it pans out. We could both be wrong and Gane could potentially lose to Ngannou, you know? Who knows? We could both be wrong right off the bat, and then it ends up being, you know, Ngannou and John Jones. You know, maybe that, or maybe, you know, John Jones, they can't come to an agreement with the contract, and Jones doesn't end up fighting, you know, until later in the year, or doesn't fight this year, and then you end up having Ngannou versus Derek Lewis. You know, maybe you end up having Ngannou versus Derek Lewis, too. You know, if he beats Gane, you know, I feel like that's an open path that could happen as well. I think another way that it could go is they just go with Ngannou versus Stipe 3. I think that's another way it could go because they both have a win. You know, if they can't get the contract or Jones, you know, something happens with him and he can't fight and then Gane loses, I could see them going with a trilogy fight for that one. Stipe, you know, was the champion. I don't really think he necessarily needs to get a win to be able to fight again. But who knows? There's many ways I could go. We'll see what happens. But, you know, I'm going to give my honorable mention pick because I really wanted to talk about this guy. And, you know, I thought of him when I was writing out my list, and I happened to just not think about, you know, he didn't pop up until the end. And I was like, I want to talk about this guy because, you know, especially with that, you know, back and forth we had on Twitter, not me and you, but, you know, I had a back and forth with somebody, and then you did, and we were talking about this guy. So I feel like it deserves to be noted again. Tony Ferguson, man, Tony Ferguson. I think Ferguson comes back you know, he's kind of faded off a little bit. You know, he kind of fell back after he lost to Benil Dariush. So he kind of went silent. And, you know, but I see him, you know, tweeting out there, it's still champ shit only. You know, I rock with Tony Ferguson heavy, so I'd love to see that. He's still tweeting good spirits, you know, champ shit only. And I think Tony Ferguson comes back this year with excellent boxing. You know, he's been training with Freddie Roach. I already pointed out, I thought he was winning the fight with Dariush up until it became a wrestling match, you know, until he got taken down. You know, obviously, you know, he needs to work on his takedown defense or just work on, you know, his work on the mat overall. But I think he's going to come back with excellent boxing, and he's going to show improvement in his ground game. I think he's drilling all this. You know, he's training with Freddie Roach. I think he's drilling, you know, his work on the mat, you know, in the background. And I think he comes back in 2022. He gets back into form, you know, at 155. And I think he wins a couple fights this year. I think he gets back into the win column. I think he has, you know, more wins than losses in 2022, if not all wins. And by the end of the year, he's back in a title contention.
I like it, man. I want to see Tony back in the picture. You know, for so long, he was one of the top guys. And then, you know, it seemed like he couldn't find his old form, man. So I'm all for it. But once again, it depends on the matchups. Against Charles and Benil, it just seemed like he couldn't get off his back when he got taken down. If that's the case, then he has definitely worked on his takedown defense. So, but I do like his boxing. I do like his improved head movement. I do like his improved defense. So he has some things that he has improved on. But if he's going to get taken down and he can't get back to his feet, it just doesn't bode well for him. So, but I think this. I think the division is better when Tony is winning because that division is so stacked along 135 that when you see these guys and you see the matchups, you just thinking anybody could win at that particular time.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. The division is definitely better with, you know, Ferguson. When Ferguson looks better, the division is better, I think. And, you know, it's not so much that I just want to predict that he comes back and looks great, but I also just really want to see him look great. You know, that's a pick that it's, you know, it's my heart and it's my logic. I think there is heart and logic to that. You know, that's one that's kind of half and half, because if you think that his boxing didn't look better versus in the Dariush fight, if you think his stand-up didn't look better, then you didn't watch the same fight. That's just what it is. Like, you're just wrong, because his head movement was crazy. Like, Dariush was shadow boxing in there. That's the best way I could put it. He couldn't find Ferguson, and that was just after, you know, a short time training with Freddie Roach. I can imagine what he'll look like by the time this next fight comes. You know, all the new techniques that he's learned. You know what I mean? New head movement, new footwork, switching stance. You know, I can imagine how many things, you know, he's going to come in there with. So I think his striking is going to look, you know, it's going to be impressive when he comes back. And, you know, I think with a division where you have, you know, a bunch of strikers, and then, you know, you also now have a bunch of guys that are wrestlers and grapplers, you know, hopefully, you know, I think he has, but, you know, hopefully he comes back showing improvement to his ground game too. So, yeah, that's just something that I would love to see in 2022, and I think there is logic behind it. I think, you know, you put him in there with Michael Chandler in 2022. I think that's a fight that I'd want to see. You know, I think that would be a good return fight for him as well. I think, yeah, and they were actually – they've been calling each other out this past week too. You know, I think that's a great return fight. I think that – personally, I think that should be the fight, you know, that Ferguson comes back to, is him and Chandler, because Chandler was, you know, they kind of have a history. They were supposed to fight before, and then it didn't happen. They had the back and forth at the press conference. So they definitely, you know, already kind of have some, you know, kind of already have some bad blood between the two of them. You know, they already kind of have a little rivalry there. And then now they've been going back and forth again. But, and, you know, and then Chandler saying he would beat, you know, Ferguson bell to bell. And it's like, man, what bell to bell are you talking about? Are you talking about the opening bell to the bell that, you know, at the end of the first round? You talking about bell to bell there? Because you don't even make it bell to bell. Come on, bro. Like, you, who are you fooling with that talk? Like, you don't even have 15 minutes in your gas tank. What bell to bell are you beating anybody in with that gas tank? Stop playing here. And versus Ferguson, a guy who we know can go. You know what I mean? We know Ferguson, you know, is fighting 15 minutes and he's going to look good. So it's no problem. Yeah, Tony looks tired after a couple rounds, but not the way you do. Not the way you do. Now, Tony, he's good, man. You don't want to fight him. I think if you're Chandler, you got to be wary about that fight. But I do like that fight for Ferguson to come back to.
Yeah, bro. I do like that fight also. I definitely like the. I did enjoy the back and forth, and it was funny how how Chandler tried to make it seem like how he put it out there all nicely. You know, you one of the guys I respect, la 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 la, and then basically Tony Ferguson come back. Oh, now you want to come crying like a bitch and. So yeah, it was so good back and forth, man. I definitely enjoyed it. But I don't see what bell. I don't know what bell to bell means, because we all know that Chandler is a first round fighter. So, but hey, that first round could be the best first round ever. So. We shall see what happens, man, but I do like that fight.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he almost got Gaethje out of there in the first round, but, yeah, you know, we'll see what happens. I would just love to see the two of them at a press conference, too. That's another reason why I like to see that fight in 2022. One thing that I'm hoping to see in 2022 is them do, like, another one of those press conferences where you have, like, two entire divisions at the press conference. Like, you take, like, you know, the top eight guys from, like, you know, 145, 155 or whatever, and put them all. You know how they used to do it? Like, in the old school days, like 5-6 years ago, you'd see, like, you know, Dos Anjos would be up there, Aldo, McGregor, Cowboy, Alvarez. Like, you have, like, everybody up there at the press conference. All the 145 guys would be up there. You know what I mean? You have Chad Mendez would be up there. Like, you know, like, I'd like to see them do. That's something, not a hot take, but that's just something that I would like to see happen in 2022, if we can make it happen, you know, given COVID, you know, if it's doable, that would definitely be cool. But I want to ask, I know you might not have prepared one, but do you have an off the top honorable mention pick for your hot takes for this year?
Actually, I don't, but I do, and it's a selfish one. And it's about our show. I'm predicting that 2022 is going to be the best year of Lee and Keys Real Talk as we look to expand and do different things with our platform and do different things with our show. We will still be true to this every Wednesday. You know, we're still going to do our UFC stuff. But we're going to also do other things. And I like the way our show is headed for 2022, and like I said, this is basically a selfish one. Has nothing to do with, you know, with you know, the UFC or combat sports. It's just strictly to do with me and my man Keys. We've been doing this for quite a while, and we love it. And you know, we're gonna keep bringing y'all this far, man. And we just look to get better with each and every show. And that's my bold prediction. Actually, it ain't bold. because it's true. We are going to get better in 2022. We're going to be better than we were in 2021. So that's it.
Yeah, it's I'm looking forward to this year. I mean, we're planning to get a Monday show going. I'm gonna introduce my boy Jonathan and Lee. They don't know each other, but they will know each other pretty soon. The year is still kicking off. You know, today is January 5th. It's still kicking off, and yeah, they're gonna. The two of them will be acquainted. I'm gonna get the show going. We're thinking Monday nights, so we will have probably a Monday show, a Wednesday show, and a Friday show. You got the fantasy football show on Friday, so I just want to do more with our platform. You know, we got so many hours of airtime that is available to us, and
yep.
We hardly use it. So I think there could definitely be more shows happening, you know, not just even adding one more show, but just even having pop-up shows when we want to, you know, if we want to do another show, meaning like even if we have our Wednesday show, we might even want to do, you know, if there's like some breaking news or something, we might want to, you know, maybe if we even want to jump on and talk about something, you know, that comes up on like a Thursday or, you know, a Tuesday or, you know, even a Friday, if we want to pop out and talk about something, you know, at a random time. We might even, you know, introduce doing that. So, there's definitely just this flexibility and, you know, there's ideas and there's options, you know, for 2022. So I'm just looking forward to that. You know, I think it's going to be good. We're keeping in a good mindset, you know, for the year and, you know, keep on going strong, keep working hard and, you know, keep that focus. It's going to be good. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, man. It's like you said, man. We just can do more with what we, you know, get more bang for our buck, and we can just do stuff that's near and dear to our heart. And you know, outside of just talking combat sports, because there's so much more in the world going on these days. We're not a politics show. Even though we have talked about politics in the past, that's not really our bread and butter. You know, we do talk about social issues sometimes that we feel need to be addressed. And it's just like he said, we're just maximizing our platform. Nothing more, nothing less.
Yeah, absolutely. And definitely another thing, too, is, you know, we mentioned this, and I want to say you mentioned it in the last show, but, you mentioned it in the last show about, you know, we might even move to another platform, you know, at some stage. For me, that is not, you know, the first thing on my, you know, agenda right now. I mean, I'm trying to. You know, I have a lot of things that I'm doing, but I am, you know, the first thing is, you know, adding another segment, you know, into what we have here, you know, adding another segment on. That's pretty much the first thing that's in front of me right now. But, I mean, hey, you know, using up all our hours on Blog Talk is a great thing, you know, in the meantime, you know, to get the most out of what we have, you know. And I think there's, you know, and not even I think, I know there's tons of people out there that, you know, have never heard of our show before. And I think that they should. You know, there's tons of people out there, you know, tons of people on Twitter that I see talking about fights that have never heard Lee and Keys Real Talk before, or maybe they've seen our tweets and just, you know, didn't interact with it. But I think if they would hear, you know, what we got going here, hear our product, you know, they would rock with us. And that's just what I want to try to do, you know, get more content out there, you know, get more minutes on the air out there and, you know, put more people on to what we're doing here, you know.
Yeah, man. You know, it's all about expanding, you know, getting more ears and eyes on our product. So, I mean, that's what we're here for. We're here to reach as many people as we can. And while we're doing that, have as much fun as we can doing it. So, you know, who would have ever thought that two guys that met on Twitter, going back and forth. We'll have a podcast. What, we going on, what, 4 years now, 3 years, something like that?
Going on five.
I don't lost count.
I'm going on five.
Man, wow, 5 years. So, hey, it's been fun, man. So, and we're going to just keep it going. With that being said, any last words, bro?
No, that's all I got. Just thank y'all for listening and, you know, have a great rest of your week. And we'll be back with more content. Hit us up on Twitter. You know, I can see more people been, you know, so a few people have been starting to follow us on Twitter. We've been trying to put out more on our Twitter, so definitely hit us up there. And we can talk about, you know, any of our hot takes that we had. If you disagree with something, you know, feel free to let us know. That's why we're doing it. So, yeah, let's see what you got. And, yeah, that's it. I'm good. Have a great rest of y'all night.
Yeah, man. You know, once again, Happy New Year to everybody. Be safe. Take care of yourself. I know out there back east y'all have some snow this week that, you know, caused traffic jams and stuff like that. It's snowing outside right now here in Denver. Can't wait to be up out of here. This is my last winter here before I move out of North Carolina. So everybody have a great evening. I haven't come up with a saying yet for 2022, but I will have one here shortly, probably by the next show. So everybody take care of yourself, take care of each other. And that being said, Leah Key signing off, first show of 2022. Peace.